case, it means crooked, out of sync with God's will. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. Now, he who guards his soul will be far from them, from the thorns and snares that are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul, he who guards his soul. How do we fall into perversity? How do we fall into crookedness? How do we fall into, meaning jump into, we never fall into, we always jump, into sin? We simply take our eyes off the objective. Instead of looking upward to the upward call of Jesus Christ, we instead look inward at our own desires. And on the basis of our own desires, we pander to our own desires and we leap into disobedience. Yes.
He died.
I'm sorry.
And so this person did it, and she wanted me, blah, 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 and I told her, just say what it is. She told him what it is, and I said,
yes.
Then she was kind of going haywire, so I calmed her down. And then after I hung up, and I went haywire. And
you
I
lost it.
Out and feeling going down.
Right, right.
And the doctor comes, okay, this is.
Amen. Because all the non-believer has in a time of grief or in a time of loss like that is self-control.
Yes.
And it crumbles. It
yes.
crumbles.
And so when they see to me, before never feared. And now they are listening.
Yes.
I mean, it's so wonderful. If now, we even have to know how I feel inside.
Yes.
Now I'm comforting them.
Amen.
And they comfort me.
Let us comfort them, 1 Corinthians says, with the comfort wherewith we ourselves yes. have been comforted. And the Holy Spirit's title is the Comforter.
Yes.
The Comforter.
So that's it.
Yes.
So when I told him Jesus Christ and always in my comfort.
Amen.
And here I am. The non-believer, the people don't know me. And they say, she's a denial. You know.
Yes.
That's okay.
She's in denial. She's not under the control of the Spirit. She's in denial.
People who know me, we know you're going to react in that way.
Eventually, always, we react in the right way if we are yielding our control to Him. Amen. That's a beautiful testimony. Amen. Not as those who have, thank you, not as those who have no hope. Chapter 25 of Proverbs. Thank you for that. Well, you know, I can't find the verse. It doesn't correspond to what I wrote down here, so forget that one. Go to Proverbs 29. I trust this one will be there. Proverbs 29, verse 11. Proverbs 29, verse 11. Not only are we supposed to control our spirit, or to rule our spirit, which translated means allow God to do so as a believer, but we're also to, now here's where we get into trouble with our anger, and here's where we get into trouble in so many different ways. We are to control or guard our mouth. We cause so much harm with our mouth. We're going to talk about the tongue in a separate lesson, but here, just look at this particular passage, chapter 29 of Proverbs and verse 11. A fool vents all his feelings. He lets it all hang out. But a wise man holds them back as the restraint, as the control over a perverse expression of your feelings through your mouth. When we lose it in an argument, when we lose it or someone else loses it in a fight, what happens is they blurt and splat stuff all over the landscape with their tongue. and they hurt and hurt and hurt, and the barbs go deep, and they stay there sometimes for a very, very long time. So the fool lets it blurt out, lets it hang out, vents all of his feelings, expresses verbally. The wise man is the one who is under the control of the spirit. The wise man is the one who is under the control of the spirit. And what does he do? With the spirit's help, he holds back the expression of his tongue. So the guarding of your spirit and the guarding of your soul manifests itself in a very concrete way in the guarding of your tongue, in the maintenance of control over your tongue. James chapter 3 in the New Testament, if we could turn there briefly. Hebrews, James chapter 3, verse 2, James chapter 3 and verse 2. We read the following in that verse. The whole chapter is on the control of the tongue, but I won't read the whole chapter. I read one verse, 3:2. For we all stumble in many things. There's a truism. We blow it all the time. We all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a mature person, a perfect man, a mature person. Able also to bridle, and bridle is used to control the horse, the whole body. So, if somebody blurts out at you and reams you out, control your response. Control your tongue. Don't answer in like kind. Now, you may infuriate them by doing that, because they would like to see you express some emotion, maybe, but it will only serve to inflame and accelerate the level of conflict that has been occurring, even though they would really like you to respond because they want to get under your skin. That's why they're reaming you out in the first place. Right? In any case, we read here that if we are able to control the tongue, we're able to control our whole person, because that's the gate through which we respond in a public sort of way. Aside from actions, that's the gate through which we respond to stuff that comes at us.
But no one is able to control
the yes, by himself. There. By himself. There. This is one of the deals that we all have to recognize, is that we have this unruly member. This not only sticks out at you, which can be very insulting, but it is constantly in action. And for the person who's always venting his feelings, the action is not always edifying action. You're right. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. What does it mean to be controlled by the Spirit? There are different things the Bible talks about, different phrases it uses. Here's one. Galatians chapter 5. Now, in verse 23, we read that inward rule, self-control, is one of the fruit of the Spirit. But in verse 24, the very next verse, we read, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That phrase, crucified the flesh, is yielding to the control of the Spirit over my evil impulses. That's crucifying the flesh. Does not mean that I have the power to remove evil from me. Only God has the power to cleanse me from evil. But the power of God enables me, in this particular situation, to put down those impulses, not by my own power, but by His. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Self-control is Holy Spirit control, or it doesn't work. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In verse 13, one of the most important verses that I know of in terms of a practical verse for living the Spirit-filled life. One of the most important verses I know of is this verse. Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, that means following your natural impulses. For if you live according to the flesh, you will do those things that lead to death. And you will, if you're an unbeliever, die yourself. But if, here it comes, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will do those things that will advance the glory of God, the kingdom of God, and His plan and His purpose for your life. And you will please Him. And yes, by obeying Him, you will live forever. By the Spirit, you put to death, mortify the deeds of the flesh. Martin Luther had this story that he told about having been a monk before his conversion, and he was in a Spartan cell with very little in the way of furniture, and he found that even though he was there by himself in this very austere environment, that he hadn't shut the devil out. He brought him in with him, because in his own heart was the residue of sin. So he picked up one day an ink bottle and threw it at the wall, and symbolically throwing it at the devil for continually attacking him. We are always under attack. And if we answer with our willpowers, guess whose will is stronger than ours? Guess who is able to deceive us and help us rationalize in order to do our own wills quite handily? Some of you may have read in the past Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. And you know that Lewis, who was an author of a number of works, sometimes is called, along with Tolkien, one of the writers of the literature of imagination, because he was able to create all kinds of interesting stories. In Screwtape Letters, I don't want to go into the details of it, but this uncle devil and a nephew devil are in conversation, and the whole point of Screwtape Letters is to talk about strategy. To talk about how to trip up the believer in order to knock him down and to ruin his or her effectiveness and her testimony and so on. But clearly, one of the ways in which you can trip someone up is to help them feel that it's their idea. You know, a not so effective attack would be if you're aware Satan's trying to trip you up, but when you can handily trip yourself up, and it's your idea, your decision, and you can rationalize it. Like, you know, I've been hurt, I've been done dirty to, and I deserve this, and so I'm going to take it. That is a successful strategy. That is a successful strategy. And then you say to yourself, I deserve that. And you calcify and cauterize your conscience in the process. You detach your conscience in the process. That's why this is so important. Because we have tried to control ourselves by our own willpower instead of by the Holy Spirit. And we have failed and blown it every single time we do that. Every single time. So what should we do instead? Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. You see, it's all a matter of choice. Even the yielding to the control of the Holy Spirit is a matter of choice. So we read here in chapter 6 and verse 13 of Romans the following. And do not present your members, handing them over, as it were. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Here, use my body, please. Here, use my mind, please. Here, use my emotions, please use them. Is what we do, in effect, if not literally. Stop handing your body over. Stop handing your emotions over. Stop handing your mind over. Please, use it. But instead, present yourselves, hand yourselves over to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness for God. I'm yours, Lord. I belong to you. I belong to you by virtue of creation. I belong to you doubly by virtue of salvation. You bought me and paid for me. I am not my own. I have been bought with a price. My mind is not my own to choose to use as I will. My body is not my own to choose to use as I will. It's yours. Don't mess around with God's property. Belongs to Him. It's not your own. Hand over what belongs to Him, to Him. Hand over what belongs to Him, to Him. And so we read that in chapter 6 and verse 13. Present yourselves to God, hand yourselves over to God as being alive from the dead, your members as instruments of righteousness. Go to verse 19 of the same chapter. Different kind of metaphor. The handing over of your members could be viewed as kind of a donation or a gift. Now we're going to talk about handing yourself over as a slave, which is an even stronger metaphor in verse 19. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness, that's handing over your members as instruments of unrighteousness, just as you presented yourself, your members as slaves of uncleanness, here, I'm yours, sin, I'm yours to serve, please take me, is in effect what we're saying. And of lawlessness leading to more law. So now, present your members as slaves of righteousness. Slaves of righteousness for holiness. And what this is saying is, it isn't just that I'm handing over this decision. I'm handing myself over as a slave of righteousness. I'm handing myself over as Jesus Christ's slave. I want to close. Yes.
Talk about Bill Bryan.
Right.
You probably know that Ian Bonham drew up a contract 50
years ago. Yes, I do.
Right.
Amen. Their whole life and together in the whole ministry was founded on that commitment. Exactly right. Right here in Romans 8:19. What does the Lord Jesus have to say about all of this? And with this we'll close. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. See the words of the Lord. Matthew chapter 16. I don't know about you folks, but I think this is a critical issue, this matter of spirit versus self-control. It's the whole issue as to whether we obey or disobey. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. This is the words of the Lord Jesus Himself speaking. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desire to come after Me, here it is, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. Now, you've heard that before. You've read that before. Do you understand now in the context of what we're saying that self-restraint, meaning control over your impulses and control over your behavior and control over your thoughts and control over your will by the Holy Spirit, is denying yourself? That putting to death sin in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit is taking up your cross, is taking up your cross. Self-control is a condition of discipleship. Self-control is a condition of discipleship. If anyone will come after Me, let him or her deny herself, take up her cross, and this is the positive side. This is the yielding to the control of the Holy Spirit. This is the obedience side. And follow Me! How do you follow? Yes, Lord, please, You control my thoughts. You control my decisions. You control my body. You control me. I'm Your slave. And you hand yourself over as a slave to Jesus Christ, and you hand over your decisions to Him as a matter of Spirit-filled and led denial of self and crucifixion of the old nature. You clear the decks for Him to control you. See, filling of the Spirit requires two things: crucifixion and putting away of the old sinful self and its behavior and habits, and the taking on of the new Spirit-led and Spirit-filled self and all that's required to obey and to follow and to keep His commandments. You can't do that without the Spirit either. You can't kill the old and sinful impulses without the Holy Spirit, and you can't obey either without the power of the Holy Spirit. I can just be obedient. That's New Year's resolutions. You know what happens to New Year's resolutions. I will be obedient. I will do this. I will do that. Forget it! It's a New York phrase. Forget about it. It's not going to happen. You're not going to follow Jesus. You're not going to do it on your own. Self-control. Control by the Holy Spirit. Lordship of Jesus Christ, then you please Him. Why? You put away sin and you're walking in obedience to Him, and you please Him. Let's go to Him. By virtue of your new birth, that is your status. And practically speaking, you become His slave each time you yield the control back to the Master. Amen. Let's go to the hymn in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before You today. We recognize how much we are prone to take control of our own lives, that somehow we feel insecure enough that we feel we must be in control of our circumstances. And oftentimes we have used that very self-control in order to perpetrate our own wills and to do what is evil, instead of using that as a means of disciplining ourselves to follow You. And how we have blown it time after time after time. Father, we pray today that we might recognize that that is a trick of the evil one, to cause us to think that we are, in our minds or in our wills, sufficient to be able to control ourselves when we're not. Because we're infected by evil. May we, recognizing that fact, now yield the control of our bodies, our instruments, our members as instruments of righteousness, and ourselves as slaves to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, handing ourselves over, thereby being filled by the Spirit day by day, moment by moment. May this be our choice, to yield control. Thank You, Father, for this lesson. Pray that we will be able to live it by the power of the Spirit. We recognize that this is the means You have ordained for being Your disciple, condition for being Your disciple. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.